the government corrupt, the leader unbelievably wicked, a killer of children, a culture hoarding and torn apart, religion and religious people stifled, greed, selfishness, unbelievable taxation from all levels of government. Immense poverty, oppression, difficulty. Welcome to Herod's world. Welcome to the decision of the situation and the culture into which God inserted himself in the baby, in the manger. I want to focus on rejoicing over this Advent season. I want to focus on celebration. I want to focus on praise. And if you start with the world, you're going to be overwhelmed. If you look at the world, you will be overwhelmed. And I don't care if you look at your world or you look at the circumstances in the world into which Christ came. Poor, traveling down these many miles because Caesar wanted to tax the people more significantly. So each one had a report and be counted. The sole purpose of counting them was to keep track of them to make sure they paid their fair share. The greed of Herod, unmeasurable in terms of the things that he tried to do and get from the people. And at the same time, he's under the thumb of Rome. At the same time, Rome can't stand the religious people because they are offensive to Rome. They are offensive to the religion of Rome, the paganism of Rome, the wickedness of Rome, the permission that Rome gives to kill children and live immorally in all kinds of different ways. The people, the Jews, stand against much of that. And that's the setting that God speaks his priests and his grace and his glory. I'm going to read to you. You don't have to necessarily look it up, but I'll read to you this. It comes out of Zephaniah 3. This song is sung by this verse was put to a song by a man who was brought out of homosexuality and became a Christian. Ended up getting married, having family and children, and still celebrates what God has done for him in his life. And he said, well, out of all the verses that minister to him, this is one of them that just touches his heart. And I thought it would be appropriate for us to set this tone as we enter into the Advent season. It says, do not fear. Do not let your hands be weak. Zephaniah 3:16 and 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. One of the things I want you to understand about Advent, about the Christmas season, Christmas itself is pure gospel. By pure gospel, I mean everything that is good, everything that happens in Christmas, everything that happens around the event of the birth of this child has nothing to do with the quality of the people, the culture, the government, the environment, whether or not the people deserved anything God was going to pour into their world. Everything about it flows from the grace of God, undeserved, unmerited, down into the world. And it is released into a world that I only touch parts of what I could have said in terms of the corruption, the wickedness, the immorality, and all the rest. And into that setting, into that garbage, into that filth, into that inconsistency, into the deafness of the religious people, into the self-deception of the religious leaders, into those people who had stopped watching, stopped looking for him, comes the message, Here is the good news. Here is what grace is, and it invades our world, our circumstances, and our life. And so it's important, before you can rejoice over anything, you have to understand the feeling, the attitude, the heart of God for you. Because when you understand, and that's why I think this verse, as I've heard this man's song that he sung, and I've heard some of his testimony, and I've heard the power of God that just broke his heart wide open. The thing that broke his heart totally open was this unbelievable ability for God to love this man in the circumstances and the compromises of his life. In a culture, in a Christianity that sometimes says, if you don't measure up, if you don't reach some kind of expectation, then the love of God is not for you. This man's life is broken open by the truth of Zephaniah, where he understands that here is God singing over the lostness of his people. Here God is singing over people that have in some cases turned against him, and he still longs after them, and he sings his song of love over their hearts and over their lives. And so that's the sensitivity I want you to have when you worship at all over the Christmas season. Don't think you're bringing something to God. Don't think you're offering up something that you now have become worthy to offer. Instead, understand that the mercy of God is as fresh and new and as needed today in our world, in our culture, in the governance of our particular city, state, or world, in all the things that we live in, including my life and including yours. We have this God who enters in to our world and sings over us. How much I love you. How I long to bless you. How I long to minister to your life. How I long to invade your marriage and bring encouragement to your circumstances. How I long to lift you up. All the things that God promises are brought together in that kind of concept. Now I want you to think of another verse. It's very similar to this. It comes out of the New Testament. You don't have to turn to it. You'll be familiar with it. But it's in Luke 15. And Jesus tells this parable, trying to get people to understand. Because people are slow, like we're slow. And we think, how could you possibly love me? I know what I do wrong. In other words, we try to love other people and we sometimes are inhibited by the fact that they drive us crazy, or their behavior is so offensive, or their actions are so selfish, or the way they respond is so arrogant, or whatever it is that we react to. And here, when we hear God trying to get this message into our world, we miss it sometimes because we think, I gotta get myself right, Lord. I gotta get right, and then you're gonna love, and then you're gonna touch me. And I'm going, here's what I want you to hear. Which of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost till he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Well, what's he trying to speak to my heart or yours? He's trying to speak, he says, what would you do? You who live only in the world and raise your sheep and dwell on the things of grass and animals and things like that. He said, what would you do? And he says, you would go out and looking for it, wouldn't you? And he said, and how would you respond? And he says, you'd put it on your shoulders, you'd carry it back home. And you'd rejoice, you'd found that lost animal. You had replenished, you had replaced it. And he looks at you and he's going, I'm trying to tell you this very important thing. This is how heaven breaks loose. It breaks loose when you and I come to our senses. It breaks loose when you, coming to your senses, say this, Christ, you came into the wretchedness of this man's life, and you continue to come into the inconsistency of this man's life, not with judgment and harshness and cruelty, but you enter into it like a farmer longing to rescue that part of you that's lost, that portion of your life that's lost, or you as a totally lost individual. And God rejoices when you finally sit back and you listen and understand the Christmas message is that God sings over me. The Christmas message is that God rejoices when I come and understand what the gospel really is. The Christmas message is understanding that when I get it, I don't come bringing, I come to receive. Not out of arrogance, but out of recognition, God, Lord, you walk in this world of this person's life, and you come and sing these things over me. And finally, this is where I want you to focus. So if you do have a Bible, this is the one I want you to turn to. Put this all together with you for hopefully or comes out of Romans 5. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Everything about your rejoicing in mine, everything that is involved in the praise that comes out of my lips and yours, comes out of the gospel, the grace, the undeserved merit of God reaching into your and my circumstances. Here's Paul recognizing, I have been declared innocent. I am not guilty before the throne of God. It is a work of God through Christ by faith. And he gives credit, he says, through Christ, through the Christmas message, through the message of the cross, through the work of Christ seeking after the lost, through me being that lost sheep, through me understanding that the Holy Spirit brought me into this relationship, through all these circumstances, and finally, after he restores or brings each one of those points up, he says, and we rejoice. We celebrate. We lift up praise. And our rejoicing is because we live in the hope, not of what we're bringing to the meal or bringing to the event or bringing to the Christmas situation. We rejoice, as it points out here, as it says here in the phrase, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the glory of God is what he's speaking of, is the glory of God is that while we were yet sinners, the glory of God is that he entered your world in the middle of Christmas. The glory of God is that he loves somebody like you and me. The glory of God is that it is unfettered and it is unchained and it's loosed upon you with this unbelievable ability to affect and impact and change your life. The glory of God shone round about them. Well, what's happening with the shepherds? The mercy of God is being poured out. The glory of God, the angelic host, and what are they singing? You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so he says, there's where our peace rests. There's where we rest. We rest in the light that enters the darkness of us being what we are doing, like the shepherds on the hill. The glory enters our circumstance. We look up into heaven and we're resting in the peace that is being poured out upon us by the mercy and grace of God. And so what Paul is trying to get us to understand, what I'm trying to get us to set a tone for over the Advent season is this, that the rejoicing that comes out of our life is the rejoicing that is this response of standing in awe like the shepherds. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just stand in awe because this is the mercy of God coming into your life. God wants more of you and wants to bless you in ways you can't comprehend. And so he comes like the angels at Christmas. He comes speaking a message to you that is overwhelming. He comes whispering from the cross, don't hold this sin against them. He comes into your situation and he speaks to your heart, it is finished. He comes speaking all of these things, and that's where your hope rests. That's where the rejoicing begins. That's where it always is. God is simply looking for you to bask in what he has offered you and respond. It's like turning your face up. You've done it in the summer, I bet. You get that sunshine and that warm day, and you just kind of go, and you suck it in. And you're just pulling that warmth, those rays, that smell, or that, all the things, you're just pulling them in. And you're going, oh, I'm a recipient. I'm celebrating what is being poured out freely over my life. And so the rejoicing that we do is the it's that thing that just says, for me, this blessing of this day, this sunshine, this smell of fresh air, this view. If you've ever done that, you just stand there and you look off the edge of some mountaintop or some situation, and you just, God loves your sighs. The sigh is the rejoicing. I am rejoicing in what God has poured out into my world. I'm rejoicing in what I have received and what I'm absorbing now. I'm rejoicing because when I go home, the power of God is working in my life. I don't have to earn love. It is something that's being poured out with me. And if I'm smart, I'll stop, put my face up to heaven, and receive and say, that's the cry of Christmas. It's what brings peace. It isn't me being worthy of peace. It isn't that I've improved myself so I now can be at peace. It is that in Christ I am at peace with God. That's why he goes on in this section to start talking about reconciliation and start talking about the power of God in a variety of different situations. The next verse goes on and it speaks of this hope that we have even in the middle of suffering, because it produces perseverance, character, and hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us because God, here it comes again, has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So it's not just standing on the mountain where things are good. It's in the middle of the valley, in the darkest part of the moment of your life, where you're looking up. It says, look up. The sunshine is here too. The fresh air is here too. It doesn't happen that way in our world, of course. You got to go to the mountaintop. You got to get away from the cities. You got to step away and find those clean air moments and those beautiful sunshine moments. But God whispers to you and he says, guess what? I'm going to be with you right in the middle of the worst of them. You can put your hands up. You can put your arms out and you will receive what I am giving you even in the middle of your suffering. Even in the middle of these secret circumstances, I will bring hope into your life, and hope will not disappoint you because God has poured out his love into our hearts. Well, pouring out is that unfettered outpouring, right? Here it comes. Here's some more I want to pour into your life. And so the miracle of Advent is getting ready, and for lack of a better word, getting ready to look up, put my arms out and say, Merry Christmas. And just enjoying the presence of God. Just enjoying the presence of God because that's who he is. And nothing in this world, nothing in our government, nothing in our circumstances, nothing in the immorality, either outside or inside, can separate you from the love of God. Because it's been poured out in a heart that has released it into your world. And he whispers to you and says, look up, put out your arms, and receive what I have for you. Pray with me if you would. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts not by pretending to get clean in our own lives, but prepare our hearts by pouring yourself into our lives, by giving us a will and a desire to say, you love me, don't you? You came to my world, and my Christmas day is darkness and inconsistency and world of unpredictability. And in the middle of it, you come and you speak with great tenderness and bright light, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, we would have such a sense of the power of the gospel that flows from your heart over our lives, that we would step back and enjoy each and every one of the moments where our hands are lifted up and the freshness of your love blows across our face and the warmth of your tender mercy touches every part of our skin and heart and life, where the ability of each of those moments of fresh air just invade inside of us, Lord, cleansing us and refreshing us and purifying us, so that from the outside right down to the innermost part of our being, we become people that have learned to speak the aha and the thankfulness that comes out of what you have poured out upon a world that was lost and condemned, and what you continue to pour out on men and women and children who apart from you would be lost and condemned. You have found me worthy of entering my world. You found me worthy of dying for. You have found me worthy of being raised from the dead for. And then you found me worthy enough to send your Holy Spirit to open my ears, to open my eyes, and open my heart. And then you have put a song of joy in my mouth. It's a song of thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, work that in our hearts this Christmas season. Carry peoples with strength and joy and confidence in each situation they'll be dealing with, and let your Spirit work on us. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people said,